For our scripture reading this afternoon, we turn to two places. First to Romans chapter 8, and then to Ephesians chapter 6. Let us turn first to Romans chapter 8. And there we will read the verses 28 to the end of the chapter. Let us hear God's word. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say, then, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us then turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and there we will read the verses 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. In the Woodstock congregation, we are listening to the word of God, as it is in Ephesians 6, and more specifically, the armor of God. And last week we came to verse 15, which is also our text for this afternoon. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear congregation, there is a warfare going on. And it's a warfare between God and all his enemies. A warfare between Christ and the devil with his wiles. You found that? Have you found what a warfare that is? If we think that we can be spectators in this warfare, then we have to fear that we're on the wrong side in this battle. Because there are no spectators. And the only ones who think they are spectators are ones who are blinded by the devil into thinking there is no warfare. There's a warfare with everyone involved. By nature, we are all slaves of Satan, living in rebellion against God, whether we realize it or not and want to admit it or not, it's a reality. And the glorious gospel is that God breaks that bond with the devil and redeems from sin and reconciles sinners to himself and brings them under the banner of King Jesus. And gives them armor and gives them strength to fight against sin and Satan. Ephesians, the book, epistle to the Ephesians, unfolds the riches of that salvation. A salvation that makes enemies friends. And those who are afar off to be citizens of the heavenly country. And to make rebels soldiers under God. He takes the most unfit people and he enlists them in his army and he gives them a strength they don't have of themselves and gives them an armor that they could never produce. And he says to such, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God gives a complete armor to those whom he makes his soldiers. It's not as if you can have just one of those pieces of armor. Either you have the whole armor or none of the armor. Because God does not do a half work or a portion of a work. He gives a full work. He gives that complete armor. There are several pieces. And this morning or this afternoon we will focus especially on the what he gives for the feet. It says, stand therefore being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Why do we need those shoes? Let us see prayerfully. As we listen to the theme, shoes of gospel readiness. Shoes of gospel readiness. First, their need. Secondly, their source. And third, their use or usefulness. Footwear is needed, isn't it? It's useful. We all have various pieces of footwear, shoes or boots or sandals or whatever we may have. Many of us have more than one pair. Some of us have very many pairs. Sometimes it's for fashion. But other times for function, because you're not going to wear your Sunday shoes with those smooth soles when you go hiking. You want a different type of shoes. And in the winter, you want a shoe that protects your foot from the cold or from the wet of the snow. The soldier also needs a particular type of footwear to protect his feet and to give him mobility and to give him a grip on the ground. You think of the many miles that a soldier needs to walk or run or crawl, sometimes through even terrain, other times through rocky terrain, sometimes up and down through the mountains, and sometimes through hot deserts or cold places. He needs footwear During the War of Independence in America, soldiers under General Washington, I read at one point their shoes were basically worn out and they had to wrap their feet in cloth or something to keep them warm in the cold of the winter, and that hindered them in their ability to fight. The Romans realized that footwear was important, and so they made sure that their soldiers would have footwear to protect their feet and make them mobile. In fact, it's said that one of the reasons for Julius Caesar's successes as a general was that his men wore good shoes that enabled them to travel quickly and catch their enemy by surprise before the enemy thought they would be able to be there. The footwear that a Roman soldier would use would have a thick sole, and in that sole there would be iron studs nailed into it, not only to protect the feet from sharp objects, but also to give it tread and grip on the earth. And they would be fastened to their feet very well with those leather straps. That's what enabled them or prepared them to go forward. If you had to fight without shoes, you would be tender-footed and you'd often hesitate to rush forward. You'd be reluctant to follow the orders to go over difficult terrain. Children, you know what that's like. You ever been running outside in bare feet? And suddenly you come to sharp gravel? All of a sudden you start running different, right? You want to get off that gravel. You don't like running on gravel. But if you have shoes, can go right over that gravel. So it is spiritually. If you don't have shoes on your feet, and God says this is the way, and that way is a difficult way, then you're going to try to find another way to go, another way to live. But you don't have to walk through those difficulties. You aren't prepared to go forward. If you don't have good shoes, then you also easily slip and fall to the ground, especially if it's muddy and it's slippery. And if there's enemies around, and certainly also spiritually, if you don't have good shoes, then the slightest thing makes you fall down. When Satan comes, that little temptation, down you are. That little assault, down you are. That's why Paul is inspired to write, "Stand therefore, having your feet shod." A Christian soldier needs shoes because of the difficulties they face, because they belong to Christ. Without shoes, they would grow weary of the march and weary of following Christ and look for ways to sit down, look for easier ways than to live following Christ, who says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Without shoes to make you prepared, then you're going to seek another way. You're going to try to make the Christian life an easier life, a life that doesn't involve so much self-denial, and your ears are going to be open to hear the next person say, "It doesn't have to cost so much. It doesn't have to mean you sacrifice. It doesn't have to mean you go that difficult way." And be so strict. Be so serious. Also, the attacks can be fierce and the ground can be slippery, and then shoes are needed with tread. Otherwise, that little inconvenience makes you explode in anger. And that little loss makes you so bitter. And that little irritation makes you so unkind. And that little picture stirs up lust. And that little cost, the little sacrifice of time or money is too much for you to expend to serve God or others. They choose to stand, not immediately slip. If we don't have shoes, then we actually won't want to set foot on God's way. Looks too difficult. The enemies look too strong. We'll rather find another way. But if we don't go on God's way, then our path will still go through difficulties. Everyone's path goes through difficulties. Someone who says he has no troubles in life, either he's lying or he's senseless. We live in a fallen world. We live in the midst of the consequences of sin. They're around us, they're within us. Whether it be the aches and pains of sickness or poor health, whether it be the loss of loved ones, whether it be broken and strained relationships with others, whether it be the unkindness that we endure from others, whether it be worries about our work or our business or our farm, whether it be pain from past hurts that we've gone through, whether it be the pain of not receiving what we so wish we could receive in life, whatever it be, the reality is that for each one of us, going through life is not simply a stroll through the park. Sometimes we look at others and we think their life is a stroll through the park, but if you actually found out what their life was like, you would realize also theirs is not. How will you go through life? You have to walk through those difficulties. How can you do so? Through that loss, through that sickness, through that pain, through that fear, through that loneliness, through that grief, without shoes. You're tender-footed, and you whine, you complain, become bitter, discouraged, resist. You can try to just build up calluses on your feet. You can say it's childish to whine, and there's no use to complain, and complaining has never helped anyone, so I might as well not. No use to worry, because that only makes things worse. But all those calluses you try to build up on your feet will never be enough. In the end, all that trouble will pierce through every callus you build up. The more you try to harden yourself against difficulty, the more it will overcome you in the end. If not in this life, then certainly when you come to that greatest difficulty, that road you have to go through, that Jordan you have to cross of death. What enables to be ready and to be prepared to go the way that God would have you go? With all the troubles in life, and especially to go God's way in the midst of the enemies, in the midst of the battlefield, we need shoes. And we see, secondly, their source. The shoes of gospel readiness, their source. The only shoes that will do are not shoes that you produce, are not shoes that the devil would give you to try and make life easy, are not all the possessions that you have, or all the health you have, or all the friends you have. There's only one thing that can serve as a shoe for your feet, and it's something that's produced by the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. You remember, children, what the word gospel means? Gospel means good news. And the gospel is God's good news. God's good news for bad people. That's the gospel. It's the greatest news that a sinner can ever hear. In Ephesians 1, it's called the gospel of salvation. What a news. What a message. That there is salvation for sinners. who can never ever save themselves, who only deserve to hear bad news of curse and condemnation, that God comes with news of salvation. And it's called in our text the gospel of peace, because that is what that salvation is about. It is a salvation that secures peace. What a news that is. In the midst of a world of rebellion against God, in the midst of a world that has turned against God and cut through that bond with God and fallen from God and sided with the devil, which is at enmity with God, and there is no peace to be found in anywhere in this world, that God comes with a gospel of peace. It is a gospel of peace. A peace that he has provided, that he has worked. There's at war. Man at war with God, and God angry with man. There's no peace between God and man. What's the gospel? What is the good news? He says it already in Ephesians 2. That you were without God and without hope and under condemnation and separated from God. And it says then in Ephesians 2 verse 13, I believe, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Man sinning against God, God angry with man. And there came Christ as the Son of God to be a man, to take all that sin upon him, and to bear that anger of God and that curse and condemnation of God in the place of his people. He said, let me have all that sin, and let me be punished for that sin, and let my blood flow, and let it be shed for a remission of sin. He's the one who satisfied the justice of God by exhausting the curse of God. And in that way, he has secured a peace. Because he is the one for whose sake all that sin can be taken away. So that God no longer sees that sin and is therefore no longer angry, but instead he shows his favor and his loving kindness. He accepts such a person whose sin is gone and who is covered in the righteousness of Christ. But then there is that peace which is secured between God and a sinner. That's the gospel. And when that question comes, how to share in that gospel, then Ephesians 2 also tells us, doesn't it? He came. And preach peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Christ not only is the peace, but he's also the bringer of the gospel of peace. He says, Christ came to you, Ephesians. Christ had never been in Ephesus. But through those messengers of Christ, Christ himself was coming with that message of peace. Christ has never preached on this pulpit. And yet through the ministers that proclaim that gospel of peace, Christ himself comes in order to proclaim that peace to you and to me. What a message. When you deserve only one word from him, depart from me. And he comes Sunday after Sunday proclaiming words of gospel peace that he has secured by his blood. 2 Corinthians 5, God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So that you'd break down. That you'd confess, Lord, it's true what thy word says. I have fought against thee by my sin. And I deserve thy anger, no peace. It's what I deserve to hear. but I hear of Christ who is peace. Oh, let him also be my peace, the one who makes me right with thee. That's the only response there can be for such a gospel. Has that also been the effect it's had upon you? That Christ has come, taken away all that false peace, given you his true peace. It's what he does through the foolishness of preaching. It's what he does by working faith. And then the confession rises, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That not only establishes a relationship of peace with God, that also gives peace in the soul. He pours out that peace in the hearts of his people. And what a peace that is. In the midst of all of Satan's accusations, that there's that peace. In the midst of all the condemnation of the law, that there's that peace. Peace not because you're not so bad after all. Peace because he is your peace. Nothing richer. But to know this peace gives you fellowship with God. God not against you, but God for you, with you, in you. It's what subdues that enmity and that resistance of him. That peace of God is what makes you resign everything to him. It makes you say, O Lord, here I am. What wilt thou have me to do? Where wilt thou have me to go? Lord, let me go thy way. That's a shoe that prepares and that makes ready to go God's way, to stand against sin. Don't you see that? Even in the martyrs? How could they go forward in the face of all those enemies, in the face of all those threats? And those men who said, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to torture you and we're going to make you scream for pain. Why did they go forward? Because they had on their feet the shoes of the gospel of peace. And they would rather lose their lives than lose that peace with God, because that peace with God meant more to them than their own ease. Peace with God. It's what enables to stand in the midst of that battle. That's why Romans 5 can say, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Hear that readiness, preparation to stand and to go forward, because there's that peace with God. See, that peace with God does two things. First of all, gives a foundation for comfort and trust. You think of Paul. Ananias told him already of all the suffering that he would endure in Acts 9. And how he suffered. False brethren and robbers and shipwrecks and beatings and stonings and false. How could he continue on? How could he rejoice even in tribulation? He knew the gospel of peace. We read it in Romans 8, didn't we? What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is at peace, if we have peace with God, the Almighty, gracious, wise and good God, who can be against us? And only one thing matters, that I be kept in the peace of God. Then whatever dangers there may seem to be on that path that God gives, if I go on that path with God, then it's well. How that fear of suffering and not of being able to handle the burdens or the enemies can keep back from God's way. But if Romans 8, verse 20, 32 is true, He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gave his Son to establish peace with me. Will he then withhold anything good from me? Those are those shoes that enable to stand, to go forward. Or you think of Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Peace with God means that everything God does and wherever he leads one of his people in life will turn for their good. The issue isn't whether they understand it or not, whether they can make sense of it or not. But if God has established peace with you, then all he does will be for your good. What a foundation to go forward. And if he says at the end of Romans 9, I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Then what need you fear? But to go forward on his way. What a foundation to make ready to go wherever God would have one go. To know this foundation of peace with God. And to know that foundation also has that second effect. It stirs up those graces in the heart of his people to be ready and prepared to go forward. That faith. If you stood before that insurmountable problem of your guilt and how you can ever be right with God, and if God has dealt with that problem in the blood of Christ, what other problem can stand in the way? Doesn't that strengthen to trust in him? If he's established peace, then he will also care. Gives that patience as well. Why is it so difficult to be patient in trouble? It's because you're afraid, what will the outcome be? But if you know God is at, I am at peace with God, there's that peace. Then it means the outcome will be well. And that strengthens patience to go on. Strengthens love to know that peace with God. That God gave his only begotten Son for a wretch like me. That's what fills with love for him in return. And that, again, enables to stand and to go on wherever he leads. These are the shoes, congregation. These are the only shoes that will do, which will enable you to go through life, through all the troubles of life, but also to go in the way of God. It's to have this peace with God. And that's why you know the question that is coming. And that's a question whether you have these shoes. And I know we have been dealing with deep things. And I know even, or God's people may say, I know so little. There is still so much more to learn of what riches there are in that peace with God. But still that question comes, do you know this peace with God? Has the gospel come, made you right with him? Not in the way of minimizing your sin, but taking it away, washing it in the blood of Christ. And that very peace with God has been as shoes for your feet to give you this desire to go in his way and not your own. Presumption in the gospel of peace gives no strength to stand. Presumption thinks God forgives sin, and so I don't need to worry so much about sin. That's presumption. True peace, true faith, receives that peace as a shoe, which enables to go God's way. That's what you need. trying to make your own path that's free from troubles and cares, trying to make just a smooth path for your feet, won't do either. Don't just try to get rid of every difficulty in your life. It won't work. You need these shoes. And if this afternoon you do not know this peace with God, what a reason to seek it. In the way of confessing, there's nothing you can do to make God pleased with you. To confess before Him your sin. To plead with Him to take it all away for the sake of that Lamb which was blood was shed to give peace. He gives it. It's a free gift. Seek it in Him. And so to receive that peace in a way that enables you to go through life. If you have received those shoes, then also be assured that they are effective or useful, which is our final point, the shoes of gospel readiness. Their usefulness. Why are these shoes such a blessing? What do these shoes of the gospel of peace applied to you do? Well, the first thing they do is enable you to enjoy life. Without these shoes, your enjoyment of what you have is marred by guilt or the fear of losing them, losing what you have. The peace of God clears away that guilt on your conscience, enables you to receive all that you have as an undeserved gift from a merciful God, and to then enjoy these things with His favor upon you. What a blessing that is in the midst of prosperity. This peace with God enables to enjoy those gifts not in the way that they become a snare and an idol and rival to God's, but enables to stand against that device of the devil, because God means more to you than anything you receive. Peace with God so takes away that fear of losing what you have by knowing that all these things are in His hands, and that if that God that is for me and with me gives me health today, then I may enjoy it today, and if He takes it away tomorrow, then that also is good. Yeah, that's easy to say, isn't it? But that is what the peace of God enables to know. He knows what's best for me. Peace with God is a shoe that enables to enjoy God's good gifts. Secondly, this shoe prepares for assaults and troubles. The devil's device is always to lull to sleep and to sit down and to take those shoes off, so that when trouble comes, that soldier is unprepared and slips and falls. You think of David in Psalm 30. He said, "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." He didn't have to worry. The devil can come and can say, if you're a child of God, then God cares for you and you don't have to worry. But are you prepared? Times of prosperity are times to prepare for times of trouble that may come. And you see that soldier who is prospering, and God comes to him with that gospel of peace, and He makes room for that gospel of peace again by showing him he cannot find his satisfaction simply in the things that he receives from God. He realizes his sin again. He receives that blood of Christ afresh, and he experiences that peace with God again. And he knows that that peace is not dependent on whether he's prospering or whether he's in adversity. And so he is prepared to go forward, even if it's into adversity, because his greatest treasure, peace with God, is secure. Peace with God prepares for troubles. Another thing this shoe of the preparation of the gospel of peace does is keeps from turning aside to avoid trouble. Isn't that what the devil does? He threatens with hardship. Honesty comes with sacrifices. Others people's businesses prosper more because they cut corners, and why don't you do the same? He comes with offering wrong means to relieve yourself from difficulties. He came to Job, or actually he said to God about Job, Job only fears God because God so blesses him and gives him so many things, but if God takes away those things and life becomes difficult, then Job will no longer follow God, but he will curse God. It's always a device that the difficulty in God's way lead to go another way. And he offers an easier way. You think of Christian and Hope and Pilgrim's Progress. They had been refreshed, and then they were walking along a way that was a difficult way, and their feet became sore, and they became tired, and they were discouraged, and they wished they had an easier way. And then they saw that meadow to their left, and there is a gate there, and that meadow seemed to go alongside the right way, and they thought, why don't we just go in that meadow and walk along? It also goes in the generally in the right direction. And once they went in that meadow, bypath meadow, it went so much easier. Do you remember where they ended up? In Doubting Castle of Giant Despair. That's what the devil always tries to do. This way is difficult. Here's a better way, easier way. You see a soldier hesitating, tested. Will he go the path that is easier for the flesh? Or the right path? And then you see Christ come and show that it's ultimately this. Go alone on that easier path without my peace. Or go on my path with me, with my peace. And then you see, as it were, Christ putting those shoes of the gospel of peace upon the feet of that soldier and enables him to go forward on that right way because he counts the peace of God of more value than his own ease. These shoes enable to go forward and not turn aside to avoid trouble. These shoes also and able to bear affliction with patience, contentment, and love. Satan uses those little bothersome things to make irritated. He uses that possible suffering in the future to dominate one's life with fear. He uses God's withholding of this or that gift to make one distrust God and his goodness. He whispers, if God was really so good, then he wouldn't let you suffer this way. He does so to make fall into discontentment and jealousy and bitterness and unbelief or despair, so that you'd say, I cannot go another step and fall down. Satan says, troubles come because God is against you. Curse God and die. Where are the shoes that enable to stand? Christ gives them through the gospel of peace. He then comes in that gospel and he assures in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It is the peace of God that it enables to receive those afflictions, not as God coming against you, but God chastening in love. How that sweetens the bitterness of affliction and the pain of affliction to receive it from the fatherly hand of God. How that enables to be patient and not to faint. Isn't that why the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? He knew, God, show me his goodness. Peace with God is what gives contentment. What enables to go forward, heeding that call, be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then there's David, camping with his followers amid the plots and attempts to kill him. And there is danger all around. And he could still say, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He knew, I have peace with God, and that is a pillow on which I may rest my weary head and sleep, even in the midst of these difficulties. It's a pillow on which to rest even in a sleepless night, in the midst of the pain, that peace with God. Those shoes don't take the stones and thorns away. They remove their sting and the sharpness of them, being that guilty conscience, and keep from the painful distress and anguish and worry and fear that would otherwise overwhelm. What a valuable thing these shoes are. Do you not see what a blessing it is to belong to this God, to be right with him in the midst of our journey through life? You know who are to be pitied? Those who want to go through life on a path that's easy, but without these shoes, because they'll end in misery and they'll never be truly happy in life. Are these not the shoes that you desire? Is this not the peace that you need? If you miss it, is that not something to cry out to God for? Oh, Lord God, give me this peace. And if you know this peace, are these not shoes to have on? Isn't that what God says here? Put on this armor. Put on those shoes. But on that peace, how? Is it not in the way of knowing that the gospel that is filled with promises of that peace with God and all the blessings that flow from that peace with God, those promises to sustain and protect and bless and sanctify and strengthen and guide and comfort and so many other things. The Word of God is so rich in its promises for those who have peace with God. It's those promises that enable to continue on with those shoes of peace, but also to put them on, not only in the way of focusing on those promises, but also pleading those promises of God. Isn't that what Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He doesn't say he will then take away every difficulty and every trouble. No, but he says he will give his heavenly peace to keep and to be those shoes to enable to go forward. He says, then bring your needs to God. Finally, what is it to be shod with these gospel of peace? Is it not to keep yourself in the love of God? That is God's own command in Jude 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. That is what it is to enjoy the peace of God. That assures that the love of God. And then if you know that love of God, whatever assaults there can be, whatever temptations there can be to draw you away, whatever difficulties you may go through, if through peace with God you know this love of God, then that pathway will be a blessed one, wherever it leads, and He will enable to stand. His own love will preserve. How to keep in the love of God? Is it not by that daily confession? You deserve the very opposite of that love. You deserve God's hatred because of your sin. And yet daily pleading the power of the blood of Christ to receive it afresh, time and again, giving peace to know His love, and so to be ready, to be prepared, to go forward and to stand. I know we've spoken of great things, things which are too high for you and me to give ourselves, but these are things which are not too great for God to give. Yes, it's a peace that passes understanding, but it's a peace that He gives through the gospel, by His Spirit, to His glory. These are the shoes that enable to go through life. These are the only shoes that will do for you. How blessed you are if these are the shoes He has placed on your feet. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we pray to Thee at the close of this second service of the day, humbly thanking Thee for Thy word, which contains Thy gospel of peace. Lord, we deserve nothing but trouble. But what a mercy that Thou dost publish a gospel of peace, that Thou dost establish peace with Thee through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that receiving peace Thou dost also secure every blessing that is needed to stand and to go in Thy way. Lord God, wilt Thou bless Thy gospel to each one of us, that none of us would be content without these shoes, and that we would also know how rich Thy grace is in giving Thy whole armor, but also this part of it, those shoes of peace with Thee, which is more precious than our own ease or anything else. Lord God, remember us in this week. We must walk through the rest of this day and through the rest of this week. Guide our feet. Keep us from sin. Enable us to do our tasks as unto Thee. Watch over us, young and old. We pray Thee to receive our thanks, hear our prayer, graciously bless Thy word, and forgive our sin. In Jesus' name, amen.